Appreciate that song, and I appreciate the Lord's sacrifice. Thank God everything's done, needs to be done. You and me can be saved by the grace of God, and well, I thank the Lord for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. He's the reason we're here this morning, and we're here to magnify Him. Amen. Lift Him up. And so He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. If we'll lift up Jesus and we'll worship Him and praise Him and meditate on Him, think about Him, we'll be blessed this morning. We'll get help. Amen. You won't walk away from the house of God empty-handed if we'll magnify Jesus. Every one of us will magnify Christ. And so I thank God. If you turn over to Exodus in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Y'all sing this song with me. We all know it. It's number 67 in the hymn book if you don't know it, but I think we all know it. Y'all sing this with me. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Praise God for Calvary. Exodus chapter 20, if you find your place, I ask you to stand, if you're physically able to stand, and we will reverence the reading of the Word of God. The Word of God. Praise the Lord, this Bible is forever settled in heaven. I told somebody just the other day, they were talking about the originals. You know, everybody always goes back to the originals. Well, the originals say this and the originals say that. You, me, nobody's ever read the originals. David said the originals are in heaven. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. And folks talk about this translation, that translation. Every Bible the world's ever had's been a translation. Amen. The first ones written by the hand of Paul or whoever wrote it was a translation. It was God speaking to them and them writing what God was saying. That's a translation, isn't it? Amen. And praise God, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven and it's fixed and finished. And thank God for a King James Bible. Amen. Thank God it's inerrant and it's infallible and it's preserved. Amen. Praise God. We get this idea, people get this idea, you know, that there's an original out there somewhere. There is no original. God's the original. Amen. His Word's the original. Praise the Lord. All right, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16. We've been preaching down through God's law, and this morning we're in verse number 16. He says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for, Lord, the good services You've given us thus far today. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, I thank You for, Lord, a Bible preaching church to come to. And Lord, I thank You that we are not mixed up and we're not confused, Lord, on what we're doing this morning. Lord, we are here to magnify Jesus, and we are here to preach the Word of God, sing praises unto You. And Lord, there is no question about, Lord, in our minds what we're doing this morning. Lord, we know that we have the Word of God, and Lord, we know that we have the right Christ, and Lord, we know that we have the right. to Lord, into the hearts of people this morning, and that you would do that work, Lord, that only you can do. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, that you've brought us all here this morning to hear the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a great work here among us. And Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be here this morning. Lord, certainly in a crowd this size, Lord, odds are somebody here is lost and on the road to hell this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, put deep conviction in their heart. Lord, show them their lost condition and the hell they're going to, the judgment they're under, the condemnation that they're under. Lord, I pray that you would let them know that they are not going to live forever, but one of these days they're going to stand before God and give an account. And Lord, I pray that you would cause them to fear, Lord, judgment and wrath. Lord, that they might look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, they might call on him and be saved this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you've done already and what you're going to do. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. For it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Been preaching through God's law, the Ten Commandments. We're down to the next to last commandment. And so Sunday morning, we'll be preaching the last of the ten. This is the ninth commandment. And I have enjoyed going back through these and preaching these and looking at these things and I guess being refreshed on these things. And I really believe, you've heard me say this already, I believe with all my heart that if God's people, not the lost world, but if God's people would get these things right in our life, I believe with all my heart we'd see revival. We'd see God do things. We'd see God work. But we got to get these things right. Amen? And so I pray God will help us. I pray He has helped us as we've preached and gone through the law of God. These things will stand when the stars are falling to the earth and the moon is dripping blood. These things are going to stand, and we will be judged by these things. Amen? And so I pray God will help us with them. And so this morning we're looking at the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so I guess in shorthand, in modern language, we would call this commandment, or we would say of this commandment, thou shalt not lie. Because that essentially is what God is telling His people. Thou shalt not lie. To bear is to show or exhibit. It means to relate something. So if I relate something to Brother Carl, like I relate the fact that he has disturbed and disrupted the services nonstop today, I'm relating that, and I'm not bearing false witness. That is true. I'm just kidding, brother. It's mostly my kids causing all the problems. But anyways, you gotta have somebody to put it on, right? But you know what I'm saying, though. I'm relating that to somebody. And you relate something to someone. You're telling them something. And that is what it means to bear. If you bear news or bear tidings, you are telling something. And so to bear a testimony or to bear witness is to tell something. And God tells His people, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so you should not tell a false witness or a false thing. He's telling them, thou shalt not lie. And He says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's not just the person that lives next door to you, right? We all know that. That's not necessarily just somebody that lives close to you. Our neighbor is anybody that you or I would speak an untruth to. Amen? And so this is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, we're going to get more into this as far as the motive and into, you know, the operation of lies, how people lie and things like that. But I do want to say just a couple things as way of introduction, I guess. First of all, I want to say that you can speak a lie. And that's the most common form of lying, right, is to speak a lie. We all know that. To say something that is not true, you know, by speaking a lie. But, you know, not only can you speak a lie, you can live a lie. You can live and present yourself as something that you really are not. And I would say in this day and age, that is as prevalent, if not more so, than it's ever been. With the development of the internet, things like that. I mean, people can present themselves with social media and with all kinds of media, really present things that really are completely untrue whenever you get right down to it. People have gotten so used to being consumed with the way they are perceived, people have forgotten to be concerned with who they really are. All anybody's worried about now is the way people perceive me, what I'm perceived to be, not what am I really, not who am I really, but who does everybody think that I am. Now, if you don't think that somebody can live a lie, or if you don't think that things can be twisted and false witness can be put out there, not just by speaking but by living, well, you go watch the mainstream media today. I mean, you know, they think that, you know, police wearing body cams and having these videos and stuff everywhere, like that will eliminate all the falseness and all the untruths and all this thing, but it's just as bad a day as it ever has been. It's not cured one thing. I mean, I'm not against it. I mean, I think it's good to have video evidence and things, but it's really not cured anything. Man, they go in, they edit videos and snip and cut and tie all this together and manipulate all this stuff. They'll show a 6-second clip of, you know, a 15-minute a traffic stop, and they'll show a 6-second clip of where a police officer's dragging somebody out of their vehicle and tasing them, you know, and arresting them after they've, for 15 minutes, you know, been nothing but trouble. But they'll show a 6-second clip, and it'll circulate all over social media, and suddenly you've got, you know, you've got the BLM and Antifa burning cities down over 6 seconds of something that they saw. You know what it is? It is a lie. It is a lie. It is manipulating the truth. It's not what's real. It's not what really happened. It is a lie. Isn't that right? And we see that all over society today. I tell you, our society is completely, it is a hallmark of our society is lying. Politicians do it. Leaders do it. All throughout society does it. Back before I was here full time, y'all know I was working as a salesman selling campers. And you know, there's always the you know, people have the mentality of salesmen. You know, the snake oil salesman, right? You know, that snake oil salesman, he's just trying to pull something over you too, and he'll lie to you and tell you anything just to get you to buy something. But I want you to know something. I've been a salesman and I've been there, and I know there are salesmen that are that way, but I want you to know that the buying public is just as bad, if not worse, than salesmen. Whenever somebody was bringing in a camper they were trading in on something else, whenever they told you the words, when they said it is in like new condition, that could mean anything, buddy. You don't know what it's going to be. When they say it's like new, oh, it is in like new condition, buddy. I remember one of the worst trade-ins we ever got. I'm talking this thing, like the floor's falling in, and there's all kinds of stuff that I won't even talk about in the toilet, and it's all molded over and growing out. And I mean, like, you feel like you need... You're not worried about coronavirus walking this thing. You're walking about something worse. You worry about something worse. Like, you want to put a hazmat suit on before you walk in this thing. Worst thing I've ever seen. Like, legendary badge, you know. The one that whenever us guys get together, it's the one that we talk about, you know. It's like legendary bad. And the description of that trade-in, Brother Carl, was that it was in like new condition. I'm just saying, man, people, they will lie, buddy. And this, I know they're snake oil salesmen, but the buying public is just as bad, if not worse. People lie. People telling something that's not true does not even bother people, you know? But it is a sin against God. And so you can speak a lie, or you can live a lie. You know, you can also lie by telling the truth. Politicians are great at it, man. And by the way, some preachers are good at it, too. They tell these stories, you know, and embellish these stories, you know, and add to here and take away here and stretch a little bit here. And a lot of times people can tell a lie by telling the truth. You can tell a lie by telling the truth by just withholding certain, a little bit of pertinent information. not telling the whole truth, right? I'm just saying that there's many, many ways that we can bear false witness, where people can lie. So let's look at this. Let's look at this commandment here, the ninth commandment: thou shalt not bear false witness. By the way, y'all like our new pulpit? Am I like it? All right, praise the Lord. All right, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's the truth. The truth is, this is a new pulpit. Amen. All right. First of all, let's look at the origin of lying. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And look in verse number 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. While you're turning there, I'll say that as we look at this passage, what's taking place here is that Jesus is once again dealing with the religious crowd, and they're trying to catch him in something. Now, they were some terrible liars. Now, they were some of the worst. And by the way, in 2020, they're some of the worst today, too. The religious crowd is some of the worst liars there are. And so Jesus was dealing with them, and this is what he tells them. This is how he responds to them. He says in verse 44 of chapter 8, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." So he tells this religious crowd, they are children of the devil. All right? Then he says, goes on to describe their father, who they're the children of. He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So what's the origin of lying? Well, it started with Satan. It started with the devil. Back, from the beginning, Christ said. He said he was a murderer from the beginning, said he abode not in truth. He said he is a liar. And so the devil is the original liar. And I think in this day, I think he's always been the world's biggest and worst liars. He will lie to you. And Jesus said there in that passage, he said he's a murderer. The word murder literally means manslayer. You know, one of the devil's top priorities is to kill you. It is to slay you. It is to, not just that, but to destroy you. The devil, this morning, as you sit here, would love nothing more than to take you to hell, and he'll do anything in his power to do it. And he does it many different ways. One of the top ways he does it, number one ways he attempts to destroy men and women is by lying to them. Said he's a murderer from the beginning, he abode not in truth, and he is lying nonstop to deceive men, deceive women, boys and girls, for the sole purpose of murdering them, slaying them, destroying them, taking them to hell. Amen? And so the devil is a liar. And we see in this passage, we see his character. He says he abode not in truth, says he's the liar and the father of it, and so he's the world's biggest and greatest liar. And what he does is he lies to you, he lies to Jesus about you, and he lies to you about Jesus. Amen? Listen, one of the greatest tools of the devil in this day are lies. Lies. Lies about Christ, and lies about the Word of God, and lies about the things of God. And if you don't believe me, go out and do street ministry with us on Friday afternoon, and you will find that people are very, very confused. You go out and knock doors with us and talk to us about the things of, talk to people about the things of God. You'll find that people are very, very, confused concerning the things of God. A couple weeks ago, we had a man stop, and he was talking to me and Brother Thomas about, the things of God or his version of it. And he was asking us, we were talking about the Word of God, giving him Bible verses and all these things. And he kept bringing up these other books, like all these other random books, like the book of Jasher and like the book of Enoch and all these other, weird books. You know what all that stuff is? Those things are lies. There may be some historical benefit to those things, but they are not Scripture. However, the devil has lied to people and got them to believe, and that's what this guy believed. He believed that shed more light, took you deeper than the Bible. Well, I want you to know something. We've got everything God wants us to know in that King James Bible sitting in your lap. That's not everything you could know, but it's everything you need to know. It's everything. It's not everything God could have wrote, but it's everything He wanted to write. It's everything that you and me need. There's nothing else, but the devil will lie to people about that. Now, could you imagine being a poor old lost sinner out there in the world today and walking into your average bookstore trying to find a Bible and find your way to God? And with all the, there's like over 900 out there now. Over 900 different versions out there. Now, could you imagine being a poor lost sinner and not trying to find your way to God and not even knowing what Bible to pick up and read? See, God, He's not the author of confusion. That's what this book says. The devil is the author of confusion. And you know how He confuses people? He confuses them by lying. By lying. And so He lies about all these things. He'll lie. He's got his ministers out there that lie. Amen. All these so-called ministers that claim they can work miracles and claim they can do this, claim they're modern-day prophets and all these things. All that stuff is lies. And so we see the character of the devil. He lies to you about Jesus and lies to Jesus about you. Now, he lies to people about Jesus. A lot of people are deceived into who Jesus really is. There's another Jesus out there. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. But there's among the realm of religion, there's this idea of Jesus. There's this other Christ. There's this other gospel that Paul talked about in Galatians 1. This other gospel. And it's being preached, and people are being told, well, He's just all love, and He just accepts us the way we are, and He just, you know, it doesn't matter. Just go ahead and do what you want to do and live how you want to live, and Jesus just loves everybody, and there's nothing wrong, and you just do whatever you want to do, and everything's fine, and we'll all hold hands and go to heaven together. But that is not the Jesus of this Bible. It is not the Jesus of this Bible. Amen? Hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? There is none righteous, no, not one. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse number 21, that he preached repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Sure, whosoever will can be saved and can be born again. And He will receive anybody that will come on gospel terms, but you've got to come on gospel terms, not your terms. Amen? People want to come to this, people have been preached to and lied to about this other Christ that they supposedly can just come to and live how they want to live and do what they want to do, and they can hold on to the world and still have Jesus. But it does not work that way. That's not the Jesus of this Bible. And so people are being lied to. You know who's telling that stuff? The devil. The devil and his ministers are lying. He'll lie to those in church. I believe with all my heart there have been people that have sat in churches and they have walked out the door after a service having been under conviction, knowing they are lost, knowing they are a sinner, knowing they need to repent, knowing they need to turn their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit dealing with their heart and drawing them and wooing them and dealing with them under deep conviction, knowing they need to do business with God, and they walk out the back door because they've listened to a lie that the devil told them. The whole time the preacher's preaching, the Holy Spirit's dealing with their heart, telling them He's right, that's right, that book is right, what He's saying right, you need to repent, you need to turn your life to Christ, you need to get saved, you need to get born again, and the Holy Spirit's telling us things, and the devil has sat on their shoulder the whole time telling them, you don't have to today. You don't have to today. Today's not the best day. He'll lie. Say, he'll tell them, later will be better. Let's see, you don't hear it much anymore, but back whenever I was growing up, they'd always talk about sowing your wild oats. People would talk about sowing their wild oats, going out and living life, doing what they want to do, going out and discovering themselves, you know, and experiencing life, experiencing all these things, and then later, settling down and, you know, living for God. It does not work that way. That is a lie of the devil. The devil lies to people and tells them that later will be better. There'll be a more convenient season. There'll be an easier time. There'll be a better time. There'll be a better day. And he'll lie. By the way, the devil will lie and tell someone that they have more time. Just the fact that the devil would sit on somebody's shoulder here this morning and tell them they've got more time and they can get it right later and they can do it later and they can get saved later. That is a lie, friend. That is a lie. Listen, death is no respecter of persons. Listen, God knows your day and your hour, and you might not make it home today. You might not make it out of this service this morning. You do not have more time. That is a lie. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, because we are not promised tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment is what your Bible says. Amen? But the devil will sit on a man's shoulder, a woman's shoulder, and will lie and say, oh, you've got plenty of time. You can do it later. You can do it later. Let them lie and tell them they can't. Oh, you can't do it. You'll never be able to live it. If you get saved, you know where you'll never be able to live it. You'll never be able to do it. Well, he's right about that. That's not really a lie. Because the truth is, you can't. But Jesus can. Jesus can through you. And the lie is convincing you that you've got to do it. Amen? Convincing you and me that we've got to do it. Whenever all Jesus says is he just says, come, come, whosoever will may come. Come all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Cast all your care upon him because he cared for you. Jesus says, just come. Whosoever will may come. Amen. The devil say you can't do it, but Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. Jesus can make a change. Jesus can make a difference. Jesus has paid it all. Jesus can set you free of the bonds. Jesus can take away your sin. Jesus can change your life. The devil will lie, though. Talking about the origin of lies. Says he is the father of lies. Now, if the devil's a father, then he has children. Isn't that right? And that's what Jesus said. Ye are of your father, the devil. In other words, you're the devil's children. So, we know that children a lot of times behave like their father. Isn't that right? That's why my kids act so good, because they're just pretending they're me, you know. But no, I'll say stuff, you know, and I'll do stuff. Next thing I know, they'll be coming right behind me doing the same. You know, trying to replicate exactly what Dad did. And there's so many. I'm trying to think of something right now, and I can't even think of anything right now. But I'm actually thinking of something, but I can't say it. But anyways, it embarrassed my wife. So anyways. But we all know that, don't we? We kids always do like Dad does. Well, can I tell you that the children of the devil, they're no different. They do exactly like their dad does. They do exactly like their father does. And see, someone who is a liar and would lie and not have a problem with lying, and not have a problem with half-truths, and not have a problem being deceptive, and not have a problem with being manipulative. Amen. Somebody that would have a problem with telling lies or living a lie. Amen. Somebody that would not have a problem with living one way out there in the world and then putting on the Christian costume whenever they come to church and being something totally different here than what they are out there. That is living a lie. That is hypocrisy. And somebody that has no problem with that and is okay with that, you know how they are behaving? They are behaving like their father, the devil. They are behaving like their father, because children always behave and act like their father. When we lie, we reveal what family we are a part of. See, at the end of the day, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's two kinds. There are saved people that are the children of God, that He's given the power to become the sons of God, and then there's lost people who are the children of the devil. And each group behaves the way their father is. Isn't that right? Now, that's not sinless perfection. I mean, because even though children act like their father, you know, they don't always do what's right. Amen? Sometimes they throw balls in church and the balls roll down the aisle, down to the front of the church, you know, and things like that when they know they're not supposed to. And so they don't last that. And we're the same way. If you're saved and, you know, you don't always do what's right, but by and large, your life has changed if you're saved by the grace of God. You're a lot different than you were when you were lost. And you act a whole lot more like your father, God, than what you did when you were lost and your father was the devil. So you always act more like the one who you're a child of. And when somebody has no problem lying, they're just revealing what family they're a part of. So the origin of lying, but then the operation of lying. What it is to bear false witness. First of all, notice the motive of lying. The motive of lying is this. It is when we bear false witness against our neighbor, the motive is wanting to hurt the reputation or place doubts about the character of someone else. Okay? That's the motive. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now remember, Jesus said the devil was a liar from the beginning. As far as I know, this is the earliest lie in the Bible, and it was told by none other than the devil. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, talking about the motive of lying. Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So did he make a true statement or did he make a false statement? He asked the question. Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? Was it a true statement or a false statement? I'll tell you what it was a misleading statement. Which, by the way, makes it a lie. He made the statement, and see, this is what I'm saying. He told the truth in such a way that it's a lie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just off the cuff, you'd say, well, yeah, God did say that. And that's what Eve said, by the way. That's the way Eve responded. Yeah, that is what God said. But you know why she said that? Because she was misled by a lie. It was a misleading statement. God did not say, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Matter of fact, God said the opposite. God said, of all the trees of the garden, you can freely eat except for one. Just one. There's only one. You can have all of them that you want, and you can have as much as you want, and God had freely given, and God had been gracious, and God had blessed them and been so good to them. But you know what the devil does? He does to you and to me exactly what he did to Eve. He flips that thing around and makes and magnifies the one thing you can't have. And makes God out to be a liar, and makes God out to be mean and cruel and all these things. Like, you know, you can't eat of all the trees of the garden. When the truth is, all he said was you can't have one tree. He said, out of all of them, you can have all of them you want to, except that one. So it's a misleading statement. And he accused God of being a liar. And I tell you what he wants to do, and what he was attempting to do here, talk about the motive of lying, what he's attempting to do is to destroy the character of God. He's trying to put questions in her mind concerning the character of God. And he wants to destroy the character of man. That's why he's leading down this path, to lead her to disobey God. So he's destroying the character of God, sowing seeds of doubt concerning God in her mind so that he might lead her down this path that she might disobey God, that he might destroy her as well and mankind as well. And don't think things are any different today. I tell you, nonstop, the devil and his ministers are out there constantly trying to destroy the character of God. That's why people go through the Bible and try to point out, you know, the supposed flaws in the Scripture. That's why they try to tear down the Bible. That's why the devil's put all these different perverted versions out there. That's why, that's why Charles Darwin's theory of evolution is taking such a hold in the public school system. And that's why all these things that we see going on, that's why we see prayer and Bibles reading out of the schools. That's why we see the Ten Commandments off the wall in the courthouses. That's why we see all these things, because the devil is working around the clock to destroy the character of God, that he might destroy the character of man. That's what's happening. He's a liar. And so it's wanting to hurt the reputation or place doubts about the character of someone else. That's what the devil did to God. In Job chapter 1, verse 9, don't turn there. It says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? So at this point, he's lying to God about Job. The Bible says Job was perfect and upright in all his ways, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. That is, he hated evil. He stayed far away from evil. And the devil's up there talking to God. He says, oh, he fears you for naught. He goes on, if you read the passage, he goes on to tell God, well, you know, if he just serves you because of all the things you give him and how good you've been to him. If you take all that stuff away, he won't serve you anymore, you know. So he's lying to God about Job. He's doing that about you this morning, too, if you're saved. He's lying to God about you. He's telling him, he's saying, oh, Carl, he won't serve God. You take everything, if you take what he's got, if you take what he's got and what you've blessed him, he won't serve you anymore. That's what the devil's telling the Lord about you this morning. That's what the Lord's telling the God about Brother Raymond this morning. He's saying, oh, you look, you've blessed him. That's the only reason he's serving you, because of what he's got and what you've laid. If you take it away, let me take it. Hey, he won't serve you anymore. And I think every now and then, the devil, God does allow a degree of what he allowed in Job's life to us. He says, all right, go ahead. Just, you know, do this thing. And see, God allows us to be tested. Allows us to be tried to prove and strengthen our faith. That's what he did in Job's life. But I'm telling you this, the devil's up there lying to God about you. And so the motive, it is to destroy character. When you lie, it has got evil, vile motives and intentions behind it. I know it's accepted and I know it's acceptable. But God views it as wicked. So the motive and then the method. I'm just going to read you several verses here, and I want you to listen very closely. Psalms chapter 101, verse number 5 says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer him." That word privily means privately or secretly. And to slander means a false tale or a report maliciously uttered. In other words, talking about somebody behind their back. That's what God's saying. He said the person that talks about somebody else behind their back, God said, I'm going to cut them off. That is, I'm going to destroy them. I will cut them off. Proverbs 30 verse 10 says, "Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty." Accuse not a servant. That word accuse is the same word used for slander in the verse I just read, Psalm 101, verse 5. Talking about slander. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." We find a day where people find it very, very hard to conceal the juicy stuff. Oh boy, you hear something about somebody, or you hear something that's going on, or you know about something that's going on. How many times do people conceal the matter rather than running and telling somebody the matter? And we use a lot of excuses for it. We use a lot of justification for it. We say, oh, well, I'm just confiding in this person, or I'm just getting advice from this person. That's why I'm telling them, because I have confidence in them about this. Well, the Bible gives no, you know, gives nothing for that. It just says a wise man conceals the matter. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. Matter of fact, I want you to turn over there. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5. I'm about done this morning. 1 Timothy 5. I just want to read you a few of these verses and then we're done. But if you look in 1 Timothy 5, we're going to start reading in verse number 13. Paul here in 1 Timothy, we were in 1 Timothy in the men's class this morning. And Paul here, what he's talking about in 1 Timothy 5, he's talking about the young ladies in the church, particularly young widows. He's talking about how, you know, he would that they'd marry and all those things and, you know, guide the home and all those things. And that's what he's talking about. And he gives the reasons for that in verse 13. He says, "And with all," this is why, "with all they learn to be idle." It's not Bible, but the old saying, idle hands are a devil's workshop, has a lot of wisdom in it. It's not Bible, but it's a lot of wisdom. He says, "With all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary, to speak reproachfully. He says, if you're not careful, you'll turn into you'll get idle. And when you get idle, you'll start wandering from house to house, speaking things you shouldn't speak. Spreading gossip is really what it is. Being a tattler and a busybody. Basically, the message that Paul is giving here is that you need to get busy doing what God has called you to do and stop spreading gossip and lies. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. How many times has a rumor, an untrue rumor told by somebody else, come between some of the best friends and split up best friends? How many times does that happen and split up good churches? How many times does that happen and split up and messed up good homes? I'm saying it's a serious thing, friend. Those that tell lies, he's talking about here, but he's also deals with people that listen to lies too and listen to gossip. You know, it's just as wicked to listen to gossip and listen to a lie and receive that thing as it is to tell it. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. In other words, if there's nobody there to listen to what a gossip is saying, they've got nobody to tell it to. Why nobody to tell it to? Amen. Hey, you know, I've heard preachers say a lot, you know, when somebody comes to you telling something about somebody else, what you ought to say, what you ought to respond is, okay, well, let's go to them and let's see if this is really true. You know, the second somebody comes to you and saying, did you hear about so-and-so? I heard they did this, or I heard this happen. The response should be, okay, let's call them right now and make sure, let's see what's going on here. That would cut a lot of that stuff out. Amen. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Exodus 23, verse 1 says, thou shalt not raise a false report, put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So in that verse, God forbids us from starting a rumor. He also forbids us from receiving a rumor. He also forbids us from passing on a rumor. To listen to it and receive it, he says, is putting your hand with the wicked. That's what he said. You know, it's not a compliment to anybody for a gossip to feel comfortable coming to them and telling them things that they've heard about somebody else. It's not a compliment for anybody to be that person that somebody else calls every time they hear some juicy story to tell them about it and pass along to them. That is not a compliment to anybody. It'd be a compliment for a gossip to view somebody as that person I better not tell this to. I better not let them know that I'm, you know, be passing this on to them. So, last of all, the outcome of bearing false witness. God does not tolerate lying of any kind. I know our society does. And I know it's common ground here, but God does not tolerate it. Doesn't tolerate it. Ephesians 4, verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Talking to the church there. But lying should have no part in the church, certainly. Lying is a sin that is hurtful to others. Several verses in the Bible that we could read concerning that. But lying is also a sin that is hated by God. Proverbs 6 talks about those six sins that God hates. Then he says, yea, seven are an abomination. You know what one of them are? Lying tongue. That's it, a lying tongue. A lying tongue is vile and wicked and disgusting in the eyes of God. It makes God sick. That's what abomination is. In other words, it's put in the same category as sodomy. As sodomy, homosexuality. God puts it in the same category. They're both, the Bible says, an abomination to God. That's what this book says. And so it's hated by God. If you look in Revelation 21, I'm going to read you one last verse and then we're going to close. Revelation 21. You probably know this verse. I've quoted it many times, heard it quoted many times. Revelation 21. I want you to look in verse number 8. I'm going to read you this verse and we're going to be done. Talk about the outcome, the consequences of lying. Revelation 21, verse number 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all," what's the next word? "Liars." "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You say, "Brother Jake, what's the outcome of lying?" Lying is a sin that sends men to hell. It's a sin that sends men to hell. Somebody that is a liar is hell bound this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, "Study to be quiet." The best thing we can do, if we can't say anything that is right and true and positive and good, the best thing we can do is just be quiet. Just not talk. "A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate and instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless." But I tell you what lying will do. Lying will destroy, and it'll bring upon you the judgment of God. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. Hannah's going to make her way to the piano if she can. And pick something out and play softly. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Now, for everybody here this morning that is saved by the grace of God, lying should have no part in your life. But I want you to know, for that one here that's lost, stopping lying, and when you quit lying, that's not going to save you. Now, lying is a sin against God, but one lie will send you to hell. One lie, one sin, one point of rebellion will send you to hell. And you know what you need this morning? You need to be cleansed from that sin. One sin will send you to hell. And as she starts to play, just whenever she's ready, when she finds something, she's going to begin to play. I want you to know that Jesus paid it all that you might be saved this morning. He went to the old rugged cross. He died, shed His blood to pay for that sin, to pay for your sin. Now, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't quit lying. You can't quit sinning. You've broken God's law. That's what we're preaching on God's law. You've broken God's law, and therefore you deserve hell this morning unless you call on Jesus. Repent of your sins and call on Jesus. And so if you're here this morning, you're saved, but you've battled with some these things and you've got some of these things in your life, I'd invite you to come. Kneel in this altar and get right with God. This morning is the morning to get right with God. We can see revival if we'll get these things right. I'm talking about God's people. But if you're here this morning, you're lost and you're under conviction and God showed you you've never truly been saved. These things, these sins, these are your lifestyle. You live like your father, the devil. What you need is to be saved this morning. I'd invite you to come. We'll take a Bible, show you how you can be saved this morning. You can step out from where you're at right there and make your way down this aisle. And I'll meet you down here at the front, and I'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You do what God will have you to do while we sit and let the Lord speak to our hearts for a few moments this morning. Let's sing this song together. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin sin hath left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Amen. Amen. Well, you can look this way.